What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 469, and our podcast this week is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, it helps us out and keeps the podcast going on. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
I forgot to change something. I was on another podcast earlier this week, and I was on as my comic account, and I didn't realize it. So I say collecting casually there. So,
well, if you guys are into comics, Ryan has some really interesting comic videos. Yeah. If you search collecting casually on YouTube, you'll find his videos, and they are entertaining. I was actually surprised. I'm not into comics, but it's Ryan. Like the one that I really liked is like, Ryan, you bought an entire storage unit.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Storage Wars, and you like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, kind of like, it was actually really interesting because, again, like, and he went through and you made money on the storage unit because of the comics that were in there, right?
Correct. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just
really like cool. That. So check it out.
Whatever.
Collecting casually on the YouTubes. So definitely. Yeah.
But I also feel a little naked. I'm trying the podcast without headphones on tonight. So.
Watch, know, we get like a ton of, like, it works good now, but they will get,
yeah, like, they're like, God, there's just such an audio loop. What the hell?
That'd be funny.
And then I noticed, like, our screen shows there's like new comments are going to appear.
Yeah. So I just turned this on. So I don't think the viewer can see that.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. So it's,
but like the viewer can see it if there is a comment. So if you guys are in the live chat, post something there and then maybe you'll be able to see. Actually, I think I can just type that.
I guess I can.
Yeah, so it shows up. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, but okay, what does it look like? Oh, no, it does show because I have the stream on YouTube as well. I can see the box.
The box.
And before any chat was in there, it said new comments will show up here. So.
Oh, interesting. And cool. I can change the size of the box. Can you see the size change when I do that in the stream?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we'll leave it there.
Don't do the, yeah, that one.
Yeah, I think
the most narrow one like adds a gradient on my camera.
Yeah,
but
I wish you could just take the gradient off,
like, and just have it floating there. But
yeah,
but then the white would blend in with the background. Whatever.
Yeah. Anyways, we're
new trouble. New choice.
Yeah. I saw they added it. I was like, oh, that's cool, because a lot of times I actually miss the live chat, so I was like, oh, I'll put it on there, then I'll be able to see it better on the screen.
It's maybe a little scary depending on what people type, but
yeah. And, well, I guess you could remove, like, let me see if I can actually delete comment. Does it actually take it out? Yeah. It takes it out. Yeah, so I mean, not horrible, but yeah, I mean, yeah, it could be bad depending on whoever decides to comment in the live stream. But if you guys are in the live stream, say what's up. It will show up on the screen, at least until we turn that setting off. But yeah, lots to talk about this week. A lot of cool stuff going on. I just got done today unboxing and taking photos of like so many products to review. So I have some cool stuff here, and like we have some cool reviews coming up, just like a lot. And all the reviews this week were really cool products as well. So there's just like so much tech going on. We're like a couple days before November, so into that holiday season, a ton of products are being announced. So there's just a ton going on. So we do have our full show notes page here, guys. If you did want to go ahead and follow along, it's all right here. Everything that we're going to be talking about, so we can reference it, or if you want to reference it back later, you can definitely go ahead and do that. But let's just jump right in, because I feel like this might be a long podcast depending on how detailed.
We went long last week too. So
yeah. How detailed we go into each product. I'm definitely going to go into at least some detail on this, because this
mine's pretty quick.
Yeah, yours is easy. But Ryan does have a tendency to talk for a while.
No, I don't.
So, but in any case, this motherboard is probably my favorite X870 motherboard or X870E motherboard that I've reviewed. And I haven't reviewed a ton, but this one, it has all the connections. It has everything. It has all the slots. There's not something that you would really, well, there's one thing, which we'll talk about, that's not on this board. But beyond that, like, it has everything. It's designed correctly. Like, it's just an awesome board. So this is the Asus ROG Strix X870E-E Gaming Wi-Fi, and you can see it right here. I mean, it is a beast of a board, but it's still ATX, so it's not like XLATX or EATX to fit everything in. It is, you know, going to be your just standard ATX here. And I'm just like, I mean, we look at the accessories. You get like a little key thing here, this ASUS. Yep. But do you remember you used to get like so much stuff with motherboards? And this especially is like
with ROG boards, you get stickers and like door hangers and coasters and
yeah. This is like a common thing across all brands. It's not an ASUS thing, but like back in the day, and this is, I'm talking like back in the day, like 10 years ago, when you got like a higher level motherboard, it was like just loaded with goodies. Like you got cool stuff. But that's your accessories package. Not a whole lot there, to be honest.
But what I don't like, and you know, I had the review of the height camera last week, or the Wise camera, not Wise. Jeez, Louise, Elgato camera. Sorry, too many things.
You're all over the place.
I'm all over the place. All these brands. Yeah. Like they had gone to more like minimal packing and paper. Like all those accessories there that were with that ASUS. It's like a tiny little screw or something, and then it's got this bag that's so big. I wish. Like get it all just into one bag, or like figure out something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably like at the factory thing.
Oh, I'm sure, because like they've got barcodes and they got to track each one of them.
Well, and then like each board has like a certain amount of those, like those little bags are like for the M.2s, and like obviously each board has a different number of M.2 slots.
Right.
And like so, like they just like okay, it probably goes. I don't know how it works, but like. You know, oh, we need six of those in here. We need four of those in here. So they can't just put them all in one bag. I'm sure that's how that would work. But we have old man in the chat. Good to see you here.
So you can still do that.
Yeah, you can still put it like big on there, you know, but we have the little chat down there. But moving back to this board, like I said, standard ATX design-wise, pretty, I wouldn't call it plain, but it everything kind of goes together. It's your black PCB with kind of gunmetal on the IO cover up here. And then you have black as far as all your heat sinks. Now this board is like built like it's heavy when you pick it up. It's heavy because you have a ton of heat sinks on here. This is, of course, is X870E. So this is going to be your AM5 socket. Nothing crazy there. As far as your power stages and everything like that, this is an 18 plus 2 plus 2 power phase design with 110 amps for your CPU power stages. So you have more than enough power if you wanted to overclock, run, you know, Ryzen 9 overclocked. You're going to have more than enough power. And the actual heat sinks for your power delivery components are right here. And as you can see, they're connected by a very large heat pipe. And these are big beefy heat sinks, so you won't run into any issues with like VRM overheating or anything like that. So the top part of the board, like I said, there's like your IO cover here. This ROG logo does light up, but it looks, like I said, this board does look quite nice. Two power connections at the top here. They are metal reinforced. And then as we come across the board, one thing I love about the higher end ASUS ROG boards is they're putting these little rubber covers on your fan headers, and I actually really like this for a couple reasons. One, if you've ever cut your finger on one of these, it's not pleasant. Also, if you're like moving around, you know, putting like doing stuff, you can bend these, like bend the pins. I've done it. So it's nice that you have those there. So you have your four headers, CPU fan, optional CPU fan, AIO pump, and then a channel header right there. So they're all there. You can see them without the covers on there. But I love that they're doing that on this board. Coming over to our memory, of course, this is going to support DDR5 memory. This does feature their new NitroPath DRAM technology. Basically, they essentially redesigned a memory slot, and it just allows you to get more headroom. We actually tested this on their new Intel boards. Very much the same, like high clocked memory. You won't have an issue with this board at all. And then coming to the edge of the board, postcode display, which I love, 3-pin addressable RGB header, power button, flex key. So flex key is a programmable button. It's set to restart by default, but you can set what it does. Not a ton of options, but you can set what this little button does. 24-pin ATX. You have a USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. You have a USB 3.2 Gen 2. And then as we come down the board, as we come down the board, you have a 90 degree USB 3.2 Gen 2, and then 4 SATA 6 gig ports. Of course, those are also at that 90 degree angle, so you don't get in the way of your graphics card and things like that. Bottom of the board is actually kind of interesting. So front panel, audio header, another 4-pin fan header, 2 3-pin addressable RGB headers. You have your Alt-PCIe mode switch. You can switch that if you need to. Another 4-pin fan header. And then we have 3 USB 2.0 headers. And
yeah, that's wild.
I've been reviewing boards for like a while, like a long time, and I haven't seen, especially in this like modern age of USB 3.2 Gen 2, it's very odd to see 3 USB 3.0 or USB 2 headers, but they put them there. And the product that we're going to be talking about out like after this is the whole reason that
this product exists. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the whole reason this product exists, because there's not a whole lot of 2.0 headers. But if you're like, why do I need that many USB internal USB 2.0 headers? If you think about it, if you have an AIO, that's 1. If you have any type of RGB controller, that's 2. And then you're out of internal USB. If you want to add something else,
Your front port USB, if they're 2.0 for some reason,
or like any of like so many devices still use 2.0 for their header, whatever it may be, little accessories, screens, things like that. So you're out of luck, but you have 3 here, which is actually really, really cool. And then you have 2 more fan headers. So a bunch of fan headers and your front panel connections there. Bottom of the board is essentially all heat sinks, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4 total heat sinks. These 3 are going to cover your Gen 5 drives. So there's 3 Gen 5 M.2 drives on here, and they're all here. And all of these heat sinks are like thicker. They're thicker heat sinks. They're not smaller like this one down here. And then you can see them all right there. This one has a heat pipe in it. This one's thick. This one's also thick. And then the one that's closest to the front of the board, this one uses their toolless kind of latch system. So super easy to remove to get that one off. All the other ones, you do have to remove screws to take the heat sinks off. So here again, here's all of our Gen 5 drives. All the drives, including the Gen 4s that I'll talk about, they all have a toolless locking system. So all of your M.2 drives, no little screws or anything like that. You just lock them in. Super easy to go ahead and do that. And then at the bottom, we have our last heat sink. Again, 2 screws. And then we have 2 more M.2s. These are Gen 4. So total of 5 M.2 slots, 3 of which are Gen 5, which is awesome.
Hey, yeah.
Of course, our expansion slot, we have a PCI Express 5.0 X16 slot, and then a PCI Express 4.0 X16 slot. And it's an X16 slot, but it's X4 electrical. So again, you probably won't use it. And then coming to the rear IO, how many USB ports we got back here, Ryan?
A lot.
Well, I think there's 13. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
5, 6. Yeah. 13. 13 total USB ports back here. There's no USB 2.0s back here at all. So most of these are going to be USB 3.2 Gen 2. Gen 2. And then you also have, so typically on a lot of motherboards, you'll see a USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 internal header, which we have on this board, but you won't see a rear 2x2. But you also get a rear 2x2. You also get another Type C that is a USB 3.2 Gen 2 right here. And that one does, or the 20 gig, I believe, one of these two does 30 watt power delivery.
I guess that bottom one, because it's got the power. Yeah.
Yeah. So this one does 30 watt power delivery as well. So if you want to fast charge your phone,
great.
Yeah. Fast charge your phone, you're good to go. You're also getting USB 4 on this. So you're getting 2 of those Type C's plus all the other Type A's. You're getting 5 gig Ethernet, Wi-Fi 7 on this board. Like, this board has every connection you want. There's not much that's not on this board. We have all of our tests, everything in there as far as testing this out, and I didn't run into any issues. You can see the RGB right here. And I want you to guess, Ryan. What is not on this board?
The only thing that I could think of when I was looking at it is like is it the easy GPU release button?
No, they have that as well. So I didn't mention. So there's no button to release the GPU. It uses their system where you just pull the card over.
I didn't pay attention enough. I was too busy looking at USB ports. Does it not have like a back panel reset?
Mm. No, I didn't mention that. It does have that.
Okay.
So also,
I don't know.
Yeah. So also, I didn't mention back here, you have a BIOS flashback button.
Yeah, clear CMOS.
So that allows you to flash your BIOS without having a CPU installed. And then you have your clear CMOS button as well. So you have all your buttons. So what is this board missing, Ryan?
I don't know.
It is missing, which a lot of people won't even care about. But this board is missing a standard 4-pin RGB header. They don't have. There's not one.
Oh, just a 4-pin.
Yeah, 4-pin.
I don't think that's too uncommon, though, is it?
Not really, I mean, especially on modern boards. Now just
have a 3-pin.
So there's 3-pin addressable RGB headers here, but there's not a standard 4-pin. I mean, everything's ARGB. Like, everything you're going to buy, for the most part, is ARGB, not standard RGB, you know? And I'm not going to take any points off for that. I'm just saying that's the only thing that I could think of that's not on the board.
It's not on it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's such an excellent board. I mean, has everything. You're going to build your modern system with this. You're going to be able to overclock with this.
I like the CMOS battery placement too, right? Like, it's not covered up by anything. You don't have to take your GPU out to get to it if you need.
Yeah, all of the ease of use features, postcode display, power button on the board, the easy release of your M.2s, and then all the M.2s are toolless to actually install the drive itself. Graphics card, no button, but you just pull it one way and it will just release.
It does not have the old connections for surround sound. It's got two audio jacks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't have the older,
it doesn't have the old 6.1. I'll bring that back. I haven't used, like, I'm not like a big audio. I always just use like USB audio. Like, I just USB to my speakers or whatever.
Yeah, you know, line out and a mic in.
Yeah.
And optical.
Yeah, the optical right here. So I guess you could say that if you're like an audio person and want to connect this to like your surround sound or something.
You could, optical is fine.
Yeah, optical, you could do that as well. So, but yeah, like I said, Wi-Fi, like, it has all the connectivity you want. Now, it's not cheap. It's not cheap.
No, I'm sure.
By any means. It is $453.99.
That's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Well, no, because we're at ROG Strix. We're not at so it goes ROG Strix and then ROG Crosshair would be your highest on the AMD side. So it sits a little bit below that, but I mean, you're getting everything here. Like, there's really not much for, I would say, 90% of users that you're not going to miss on this board. So I love this board. I gave it a 9 out of 10. One, just in general, with literally every ASUS product, Armory Crate. That's all I got to say. Just put my hands up. It just takes forever to install. It's bloated. I wish you didn't have, like, you have to install all the things. And, like, maybe I just, like, what was the thing before Armory Crate called?
Hang on.
Whatever that was, like, I think.
AI Suite 3.
Yeah, AI Suite.
That's what I'm running.
I wish. So, and ASUS has started to do this. I don't want to go on a tangent about Armory Crate, but like, ASUS has started to do this with like Armory Crate Gear, which is a lighter version of Armory Crate for specific products. So if you buy like an ASUS mouse, you can just get Armory Crate Gear and it's just specifically for the mouse. I think we need to go back to that. Unless if you are running like ASUS graphics card, ASUS motherboard, ASUS headset, ASUS keyboard, sure, just get the full-on Armory Crate. But if you're just running one thing and you just want simple control for that without all the like bloat and everything else, I think even for motherboards, I think that you should get like a lightweight version, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? And like I said, no standard RGB header, but everything else on this board is amazing. I gave it our Editor's Choice Award, which I don't give out often at all.
Whoops.
So
Oh, it went.
So, right, no, you can put it. You can put up. We're rolling on here. So
we're rolling.
We are rolling.
Yeah, we'll just go right into it then. So it's kind of funny, you know. Bob was talking about that board and it having three USB 2.0 headers on there. Well, a lot of boards don't have that. Maybe they'll just have the one, and maybe one's enough because you're either running your screen on an AIO, or maybe you're running just some front panel 2.0 connections on your case, right? Most of those now, though, are USB 3, but there's some cases out there that have like four ports up front or something, and it uses one of these. Well, Hite has come out with a powered USB hub. And another issue with some of those onboard headers is they don't supply enough power, right? Like, they may give you enough data connectivity for like plugging in a USB drive on a front panel or a mouse or a keyboard to one of those, but maybe not enough to run some of these LCDs that are coming in current AIOs. And that's actually the issue I ran into on a build, and that's actually where this is living right now. But let's get into the product itself. So comes with obviously the hub and just some real basic cabling in order to make this work. So in order to connect this hub to your system, and I guess I should mention, this is a internal hub, right? This isn't a hub that gives you USB type A ports. These are all internal connections. It's not meant to go outside your case. It's an internal component. So connectivity wise, we have power via a SATA power connection. We have a USB 2 header, and then those kind of connect into one cable and then one connection on the other side, which is a type C connection, which we'll look at in just a second. So it comes with that accessory cable that you're going to need. And then there's magnets built into this. So if you have a case that, you know, is made out of steel or something, you can use that. But they also give you some Velcro straps in case you need to mount it to like a plastic case or a aluminum chassis, something like that, where you don't have a good spot for a magnetic connection. But really pretty straightforward device for the most part. But I like their design language, and it's very similar to what Hite has done with so many other products, right? Like Bob took a look at the Keeb, I think. Yep. Right? And so it's got like this rounded design and just a cool look, right?
It's like the see-through sort of.
Yeah, you can kind of see plastic. I've got one of their AIO right now. It doesn't look like any other AIO you've ever seen. So same thing here. This doesn't look like it would be some sort of USB hub, but it is. And you can kind of see through the plastic, we have an expansion of four USB 2 headers. So you can turn that one header on a motherboard into four. And then we have this cool dial here. This dial right here. So this hub also has some LED lighting to it. So it glows with white LEDs, and the H logo here for height also glows. But this is also a dial to turn the hub on and off. Now, I think this is kind of an interesting feature. Like, it's meant to go inside your case and provide power and connectivity for these components. So like, if it's in my case on like the backside of my motherboard or something, like, I don't have access to turn this on or off. So I don't know. It's kind of an interesting.
Here's only the one use case I see for these lights is like, say it's nighttime. You don't have a whole lot of light. You take that back panel off and you're like trying to do stuff in there. And then like,
it's illuminating. Right.
Yeah. Like I kept, you know, but again, if you're working on your PC, it's probably off too. Right. Now that I'm thinking about it.
So it's interesting. It's neat. I mean, it looks cool, and we'll show that in a second. Here's a shot of those four USB 2 ports, as well as the Type-C connectivity. Again, this hub is powered by SATA power, but also provides adequate power for all four of the ports for those devices that you may want to connect, right? So kind of alleviates two problems, just port density, so you've got enough, and then port power for those devices. And just even the side profile, it's just like there's no flat surface. Everything's rounded or curved or angled on this. Just again, going back to Hite's design language. On the bottom, you have everything labeled, which I like. These port numbers are nice to have, and I'll get into this in a second, but you don't have any way of like addressing these port numbers. And I'm going to get into that in a second, but it does have rubber feet on the back as well. So if you needed to set it on a flat surface, it's not going to move around. But there's also magnets in there as well, like I mentioned. So you can just slap this in wherever you need. On the back side of your case, Connection super easy if you've got one of those USB 2 ports. This board in my test system actually has two ports. So I've got the one connected up to my front panel USB, and then there's an extra. So in the next shot, I've just got, hey, look at that. We've got it connected. I apparently have damaged that.
It looks like it, yeah.
There at some point. Who knows what I tried doing there, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's your connection there to the motherboard. Then obviously you get your SATA power. And then everything comes in via that Type-C connection. And then you just pop in your USB 2 devices as needed. I had it just here on the back of the motherboard tray in my case, my test case. It's just stuck there with magnets, right? And they're powerful enough that it's going to stay exactly where you need it. So super easy installation. And then like that's all you have to do. You just plug this thing in and it adds ports. There's no software that you have to install, no applications or anything. And that's kind of like a downside to me. I think it would have been really cool to have maybe RGB lighting on this, right? If you're going to put LEDs in there, why not make them RGB? Because Nexus has their Height has their Nexus software. They could control this, right? It's a USB device. Like, add a little bit of logic into this thing so I could control that. And the other thing I would have loved is like if I could turn these USB ports on and off via that software. So if I wanted to like reset or restart a port, like I think that would be cool.
I think the issue with that would have, think you would move down to three available USB ports then.
Possibly.
Because like that, you would need data from one of those ports to run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that would be a cool feature for this, right?
Yeah,
maybe,
totally.
And maybe they've got that option in the future with this. I don't know. But here's how it looks illuminated. Switch, like I mentioned, it turns the device on and off, which also controls the lights, so it's all or nothing type of situation. But yeah, provides a nice glow. It looks cool. And the problem I solved was in my son's case, his motherboard only had one USB 2 header. So we had put in a new AIO, plugged the screen into it, and it had worked for a while, then it just like stopped. But that also meant he didn't have his front USB 2 ports. So slapped this into his case now. Got the LCD screen connected. It fires up and works flawlessly now. And he gets to take advantage of those front USB ports for peripherals and things like that. So it was like the perfect product at the right. Oh my gosh. I don't know if that came across the
sort of,
feed or not. Anyways, I gave it a 9 out of 10. I almost gave it a 10, but it was like those things that I really wanted it to have. It just weren't there, right? Like, let me control maybe the LED lights, even though it might be hidden in your case. And the fact that there's no, like software support for a device that I thought it could be very beneficial.
Gotcha.
Like if I want to restart that screen, right? Like, let me just turn it off and back on by doing it in software. But anyways, still great. It's only $30 product. So I've bought a similar device by another brand for very similar needs, right? I had a couple devices that needed USB 2. I didn't have enough power from the motherboard, and that solved the problem. Here's another option for you that also looks pretty sweet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, definitely check out Ryan's review. Like I said, simple little device that just solves the problem, which is great. So we'll move on from there to a new case that I took a look at, and it is the Lianli O11 Dynamic Mini V2. And essentially, Lianli, actually, before we go into that, we have a question in the chat. I didn't even see it. I said we have it on the screen and I still don't see it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you just notice it. Yeah.
So DDR4 is ill fishing. Ask a question. Has DDR4 RAM 16 GB that's capable of 3200 MHz. Task manager would recommend upping it to 3000 3200 MHz in the BIOS. That would increase performance. Or should just keep it on auto? I would not. If your DDR4 memory supports XMP profile or AMD profiles, I would run it at its profile. So you can do that within the BIOS. If you go into the BIOS, you can see a setting there that says XMP profile, and it should say like profile 1, profile 2. Enable that profile, and it's going to give you better performance because you're running it at auto, which means it's at its stock 2667 MHz.
Yeah.
So you're going to want it at that 3200 megahertz. And all it is just setting the XMP profile in the BIOS. We should make a video on that, to be honest. A lot of people have asked me that lately. Just how to go into the BIOS and each individual BIOS, just kind of like how I did with the, what's that video I made? How to disable TPM or enable or disable TPM. I should make the same video for how to enable your XMP profile. Cause it is different on, if you have an Asus board, if you have a Gigabyte board, it is a little bit different on each one. So, yeah. So anyways, that's that. But yeah, taking a look at the Lianli O11 Dynamic Mini V2. I run a Lianli O11 Dynamic Mini as my main PC. And I think I'm pretty sure the O11 Dynamic Mini was like, or just like the O11 Dynamic in general is the case that essentially started the whole aquarium style PC. It really did. Lianli was the first to do it. And this, the mini version, the original came out in 2020. So we're in 2025. So definitely needed an upgrade. Just like not a ton actually needed upgraded, but it's been a while. And I feel like the upgrades that they did make are quite good for the case itself. One thing I actually really like, and Lianli has done this on their cases, they actually give you like an actual little box that has all of your screws in it, which is awesome. Just keeps everything organized. Really, really like that instead of the little bags. They also include in this case a vertical GPU mount. You'll have to buy the riser, but you can install a graphics card vertically in this if you really want to. So really like that about this case. Now, looking at the case itself, we have the Flow version. So there's two different versions. There's just a O11 Dynamic Mini V2 that doesn't come with any fans at all, or an O11 Dynamic Mini V2 Flow, which comes with 5 included fans. And they are reverse blade, so they're not flipped upside down and kind of look weird. Like, these are reverse blade fans, which is great. So the airflow is going to be going the proper way, and you'll be able to see the Lianli logos there. And there's a black version of the case or a white version of the case. As you can see, I have the white version of the case. Comes with all white fans. And this is, again, going to be very similar to the original. They have made the case just slightly bigger. The biggest change you're going to see is the actual height of the case. It's a little bit bigger. So the original was 380 millimeters tall. This is 391.95 millimeters tall. So it's just like slightly bigger. And that's to really accommodate AIOs in the top. When I actually did my original build, because I was using an EATX, but any ATX or EATX motherboard in the case, you essentially couldn't install a 360 millimeter AIO, because if you had any aftermarket RAM that was like larger than the stock size, so if you had like RGB RAM or something like that, the AIO would block it. I actually had to get a 3D printed offset bracket.
Oh, I remember that.
For this. So with this, you won't have to worry about that. So you will get full 360 millimeter support, and it won't be weird, or you won't have to, you know, go and buy a third party bracket to install a 360 millimeter AIO at the top. They've also made the front a little bit different. So on the original, like the front is just like all glass down here. They've kind of made it like this little angle here, and that's where your front ports are going to be. So you have power, Type C, 2 Type A's in your combo here. But the cool thing about this is if you don't like it here, you can actually move it up to the top, which I'll show you. So here's the top of the case. And then you can actually, wait a second. Did I not take a picture of that? I guess not. But there's a section right here where you can put your IO in. So you can go ahead and do that. The top is ventilated, as you can see, supports 360 millimeter radiators. And you can easily take the top off. Another big change with this case is that the cooling brackets are removable. So you don't have to like, it was a pain. Let's just say it was a pain to install fans in the original. So you can see the screws here, these pieces come out so you can remove the cooling brackets, which is really, really nice. There's that picture. That's the picture I was looking for of that thing. And then again, you have pillarless side panel, you know, so full view into your system, as you can see. Another big change with this case is that the original, it was only SFX and SFXL power supplies. This supports full ATX power supplies. And the reason they're able to do that is this mesh section is like bumped out from the case just ever so slightly. So it's a little bit bumped out. And when it gets bumped out like that, it allows for that support. But as you can see, we have a side mount here as well for your side mount cooling. And again, you can see that just slight little bump there out, you know. And then just the back of the case. And the interesting thing about this case is that, like, if you would look at this from the back, it looks like it supports micro ATX, but it does support full size ATX. The issue is there's only 5 expansion slots. And we'll get into that in a second, but just keep that in mind. There's not the normal 7. There's only 5. You have support for 120 millimeter fan in the back, and here's where your power supply is going to be installed. Again, it does look like SFX, but it does support a full size power supply back there, which again, we'll get into. And so we do have the cooling internally, which I'll show you, but they've kind of made this back section sort of like up off the ground, because if you look at the case from the front, if we go back to the front of the case, like it looks like it's just sitting there without any feet, but there's actually feet on it. And it's all from the back side. So, you know, this section right here, that's where your airflow is going to come in because it's angled. And again, we'll get into that when we get inside, but that is, you know, right there. And then there is a filter that pulls out from there and that goes across the entire length of the bottom of the case. Now getting inside is very easy. And another thing that's very nice about this case compared to the original is that you can remove the front panel and the side panel and the back panel without having to remove the top of the case. That was the biggest thing about anytime I've had to, like, I keep on going over here because it's sitting here. Right. Anytime I have to do any maintenance on this case, like I have stuff sitting on top of my case. Like I have my thing for my headphones and some other stuff sitting up there. I have to take everything off, take that top panel off to remove the side panels or the front panel. This, you don't have to do that now. So they've made that change. So now you can remove the front panel or the side panel, do your maintenance without having to take the top of the case off. So I really like that. And if we look inside, pretty standard, just all open design here. You can see, again, our 5 included fans. And as we get in here, the fans are at an angle. I believe it's an 11 degree angle to put the best amount of air coming into your system right to your graphics card. That's the whole idea of this. The thing is that it's going to block your bottom PCI Express slot on your motherboard. It's also going to make it very hard to plug in all of your headers and everything on your motherboard. So when you do your installation, you want to be smart and not forget any of that. But those are there. And this is a cooling bracket, a removable cooling bracket as well. It will support those 3 120 millimeter fans or 2 140 millimeter fans will be supported down here as well. And then we have our side mounts here, which, again, in our version of the case, comes with 2 120 millimeter fans. And they have these like little blockages, like these little covers here on the top and bottom. One, that's going to direct airflow. 2, it's going to make it so when you're looking into the case, it doesn't have these, like I'm looking into, again,
big holes. Yeah,
I see a big hole there. So it's just, again, those nice little changes. So I really, really like that. Tons of cable routing holes. All of the fans too are daisy chained, and then you just connect them to the motherboard. There is no fan controller with this case. Also, you can see there is a GPU support bracket built into this as well. And you can see those covers right there, which is nice. The GPU support bracket. Like I said, the motherboard tray, tons of cable routing all through here. Everything is quite nice. This part of the motherboard tray can be flipped as well. So if you have an ATX power supply, your cables are gonna go through where kind of the rubber grommet is. But if you have something smaller like mini ITX, you don't want those cables rubbing against, even though this is like bended steel here. You want your cables to go against the rubber part, so you can actually flip that flip that side, flip this this part right here. You can flip it for ITX. So some nice thought. I really like that they did that. So you have that there. Again, tons of cable routing. Old man in the chat asks, is that light blue or is that the, it's the lighting in my place. It's just, it gives off that sort of like light blue, especially when I'm reviewing white products. On the back side of the case, we have the standard panel, same as the original, two 2.5 inch SSDs can go in here. Just simple screw removes it from the case. So you can take it out. Here is that power supply mount. And as you can see, it sits off the back side of the case because that's how you'll have to do your installation. We have two hard drive trays, and these are, I don't know the word for these, a little over-engineered. They sit into the back of the case with thumb screws. They can support a 2.5 or 3.5 inch drive. And if you're not using them, you can actually like close the door down for your cables if you're not using them. But I would just remove them completely because there's a ton of cable tie downs there. But that's just kind of how they're set up. But they are all metal, which is nice. And again, you have support for four hard drives out of the box, which how small this case is, that's more than fine. And you can see all your cabling and everything like that. All the cabling is white, which is really, really nice, as you can see. So really well designed. I think just the little changes that they made just make this case so much more easy to work in. And just being able to support more hardware, especially 360 millimeter AIOs in the top if you're using a larger motherboard. So definitely like that. For me, installation, no issues. But again, you just have to plan out your build, just like with any smaller build. And this isn't necessarily smaller, but again, as you can see, like we are, you can't even see the slot, you know, right, down
yeah.
here.
Make sure you do those first, yeah.
Yeah, so you want to make sure all of this is connected down here. You know, hard drive goes in no problem. Graphics card goes in no problem. This does support graphics cards up to 400 millimeters. So all long graphics cards, you won't have any problem there. You will have to route these cables through. They put this big, Ryan, it's like this big. It's a big hole in the bottom of the case that has that's grommeted. And it makes it so easy to route your graphics card power cables. So really like that addition as well, which is nice. And here's the build. Like I said, I removed those cables, power supply in there, no problem, you know, and they have all these tie downs. They have tie downs built in, no issues. Very clean system, as you can see. Just looks great. It's a great little system in there. We have all of our performance and everything like that. No issues with this case. The fans that they include are actually very, very quiet as well. Definitely like that about them. Temperatures, no issues at all with this. And it's just a nice, I would say they did minimal upgrades to the case, but they just made it better overall. And the best part about this is the price.
Dang, what?
$89.99.
Yeah.
Without any fans. $99.99 with all five fans.
Yeah. You just buy the fans version.
I mean, it's nice that on the original they didn't have a version that came with any fans. So it is nice that they have a version that comes with fans. I would like to have seen at least a version that was like, I don't know, maybe you're doing 150 for Infinity, their Infinity fans, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe throw in like a fan. I don't know how you would, you know, but like, cause those are expensive fans, but that price is just, the price is great on this. So I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. Didn't put the thing in there. I got to add that. But yeah, there's really the only thing is that your bottom PCI Express slot on ATX motherboards will be blocked. So you can't use it. So if you are somebody that uses an expansion card, whether if it's for storage, audio, capture card, you probably won't have room for it. But as I would say, what do you think the percentage is? 80% of PC users aren't using anything except for their top slot?
Yeah.
Probably. So that's the sacrifice you can make. Oh, I didn't mention too, is that this angle, you can actually put it flat if you want to.
Okay.
So you can put that down flat. It's still, the fans still will block some of that down there, but you can put the fans flat, but then your airflow won't be as optimal as you would like it to be. You know what I mean? So yeah, but yeah, like I said, check out the review. Like, one of the better cases I've reviewed lately, and we'll be doing a little project with that case coming up. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and we have a really cool build this week. This one is from Optimum Rig Designs. This is their Apex, and this is in the Comp Case Apex. I've seen so many builds like this, and I was thinking about, I was talking to Ryan about upgrading my system, and I was like, this Comp Case, you know, maybe I can learn some water cooling, and I could build like a little system like this, because like, yep, having like a cool open air system like this would be pretty cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at the thickness of this radiator up here.
I know, it's super thick. This is neat. I don't think I've seen this case in person, but I have a feeling it's pretty big.
It's decently big case.
Pretty tall. Yeah.
Yeah. But I like the design of this case for like an open air system. And there's actually like, I've seen like four or five really good builds with this case as well. I really like this. I really like Optimum Rig Designs too, because he always takes pictures outside.
Outside, yep.
I feel like I was like taking pictures of products today. I was like, oh, these would look so much better outside. But yeah, really, really cool. Looks like we have Alpha Cool cooling here as well on everything, even the radiators, everything. So yeah, there's the back.
That's good looking.
Yeah. Do you like the black and the red? It's like ROG.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. I don't mind it.
Yeah. I like that. So shout out to Quantum Rig Designs on
that. I like that shot there, the all lit up in the dark. I think it looks best there as opposed to in the bright lighting.
True. Yeah. Very, very true. So shout out to him for that one. Of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds if you want to check those out. We're going to move on to news, and we're already at 50 minutes.
You talk too much on your two reviews.
They're good products. I got to talk about
them. I know.
So real quick, NVIDIA is the first company to have a valuation of $5 trillion, which that's crazy. But if, like we said this like a year ago, we're like, if I'm a betting man, I'm going to put some money into NVIDIA stock. But we told you, so your stock should be looking good. The stock went up, obviously. And the big reason for the stock going up the past couple of days is because GTC 2025 is going on, and NVIDIA did announce their Vera Rubin superchip. It's going to be their new chip for AI, going to be in all the data centers. Not much to do with us here, our sad, lonely gamers over here. But the chip is like pretty crazy.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's a huge chip and everything like that.
2 terabytes of memory. Wow.
Here's the question I had. And so NVIDIA is like obviously going to be one of the, if not the biggest player in AI, right? And they're going to have all this money coming in, right?
Right.
Do you think we're going to continue to get less and less as gamers as their focus really goes to the AI and everything? Or here's like, which would be awesome, is that because they're making so much money and they have all this extra money and they, you know,
They just want to be generous and okay.
Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, you know, graphics cards have been really expensive the past few years. Like, you can get a 6090 for $750.
Yeah. No.
That'd
be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm thinking maybe they use their AI chips to help them design, you know, better GPUs.
Or we end up
just playing cloud gaming.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're like, oh,
data center power.
Why are you buying a discrete graphics card? Like, what do you need that for?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll talk about discrete graphics cards. MSI put out a very small RTX 5050 single fan. This thing's tiny. I really like their Inspire line, though. They've had it for quite a while. And I don't know. What do you think? Like, for like a small form factor build?
Cards. Like, my GTX 970 that I still have somewhere is, you know, it was the ROG Mini one. I like them. They're cool. They fit it. They have a very niche use case, but I enjoy the stuff like
that. Yeah, I just like how small they are.
Well, and we see these cards that are like the PC board on so many of these GPUs is so much smaller than the actual card, right? So much of the length and size is just the cooling for it. So I like it when we see a card that's like, that's what it is. Used to be your PCB was so much bigger than just like your heat sink that was slapped onto the GPU, you know, like back in the day. And now that's totally opposite. So I like stuff like this.
Yeah. So pretty cool little card there from MSI. Moving on from that, we're going to get another X3D chip. It appears a Ryzen 5 7500 X3D, 6-core CPU, apparently going to launch at CES. Old man in the chat says the problem is if NVIDIA lower GPU prices, AI data centers will buy them all, like with big, maybe.
They may have made enough headway with just these AI specific cards that it may not be worth it.
Yeah, that too. The
performance gap is probably big enough.
Insane.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Ryzen 5 7500 X3D 6-core CPU to come out in CES 2026, which is in January, it's coming up. And I think we are at a time where like there's nothing really launching.
Yeah.
Anytime soon. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe some
refreshes.
Yeah. Some refreshes, but like companies say like they need something. So this is apparently going to be that something. 6-core, 12-thread, 3DV cache around, like I said, CES 2026 is kind of like possibly leaked here. I like the idea of getting like lower end X3D chips, especially for people who want to just game, right? Mm-hmm. So I like this. It's nothing crazy by any means, but it's another X3D chip that you could probably get. I don't know if we have an idea of price, but it's not going to be crazy expensive at all. So I definitely like that for AMD there. Now, here's something that's interesting. So 1X Player, they make a ton of gaming handhelds. They came out with a new one that's liquid cooled. So this is their, what is this thing called? This is Apex. The 1X Fly Apex. And here's my thing. Gaming handheld is supposed to be
Portable. Yeah.
And I've seen this like little water cooling thing. CyberPower PC had mini PCs that were water cooled and you just like plug it in. They work fine. Like there's nothing wrong with it. But like the whole idea of a gaming handheld is like I can just take it wherever and, you know. Sure. And again, the gaming handheld is going to work fine without the water cooling. I
don't mind this so much. Like, build that functionality into a dock so that like I could take it on the go and maybe I play it like a certain frame rate or graphics quality, but then when I dock it, it like, you know, makes those cooling connections, the power connection, and allows it to, you know, ramp up or overclock or give me a little more performance.
Asus did that back in the day with one of their laptops. It was very much the same thing. You put it in like the dock, and then that was where the water cooling was. It's just for like, I know what they're trying to do.
Sitting on the couch like that, I don't want those cables all tethered. And how long are they? And what is it that they're connected to? Like, is the is the rest of the cooling sitting on his lap? Like,
yeah,
I don't want that.
Yeah, for a device like this, is kind of weird. But it's gonna be get ready for the price.
No,
the max loadouts the max is $2,200.
Nope.
The lowest price is $1,200. That's maxed out and everything.
Just 128 gigs of RAM on that thing. What?
Yeah. Well, 96 of that is the video VRAM. But yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah, things are crazy. We're getting to crazy times when it comes to these portables. But yeah. Talk about something kind of interesting. We were actually talking about audio before we started the podcast, is that Sound Blaster has launched a Kickstarter of this product, which they're calling the Sound Blaster Reimagine. It's a little audio device here that looks like it's going to be modular, you know?
This reminds me so much of that Cooler Master.
Yeah, very product. Much the same. Very much the same.
Also a Kickstarter and took forever and
yeah.
was limited release. And I don't, huh.
Yeah, so this looks like you'll be able to dock these little modules, and it shows what each one is. So you have this 3-inch smart screen, which I assume is just going to like launch things, and I don't know what's all going to be in the smart screen. Then you do have a DAC built into that as well. This thing is going to have Wi-Fi 6, Bluetooth 5, a Type-C hub, headphone connection. It's going to have a card slot. It's kind of interesting, I'd say. What do you think?
I'm sure it's for somebody. It's not for me, I don't think, but it's neat. I like the idea of these devices, right? Like a long time ago, they were like, oh, we're going to make a cell phone that's like this. And if you want a better camera, you know, like you can add a better camera module. And if there's an upgrade, you can do that, or a better battery or storage or whatever, right? Like, I like that modularity idea. It's just nobody's perfected it yet. So I kind of like hesitate on these types of things.
Yeah. And again, this one's like very audio focused, right? So we have like this, which I assume is a volume dial. And then you have these, which like, I guess they can be programmed, but like, what are they going to do? Right. Like,
right. Stop, what are they, what play, software pause. Are they interacting with?
Yeah. And like these like little faders here, like, what are they going to do? Like, it's very audio focused. But it is on Kickstarter. We have the link if you want to check it out. It's kind of a different product. I actually like it for Sound Blaster, to be honest. I think they like need a little upgrade to like the current times. I feel like they're when you hear a Sound Blaster, it just sounds dated.
I got one on my desk right next to me.
Yeah. Talking about being dated, being old. If you want to feel old, Noctua just celebrated their 20th anniversary.
That surprised me that they were only 20 years old, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they put out a pretty cool desk mat, actually, in your favorite color. Yeah, so they put out this 20 years of innovation. It's kind of like a timeline. It's actually pretty cool that has, you know, things they developed and everything on the desk mat. So definitely like that. Pretty cool. So shout out to Noctua for that. Old man in the chat has some keyboards, which we will talk about as we get to the end here. Microsoft Clippy. Do you miss Clippy?
No. It was neat back in the day that you could like turn it on, but no.
Yeah. Well, the iconic Microsoft Clippy has been reinvented into the Copilot Miko. He's your new AI companion. How excited are you, Ryan?
I'm not at all.
Yeah, so this is just like the new little companion guy. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I don't use any of these assistants. So
yeah, same. I don't use it.
Whatever.
Well, talking about the assistant and Copilot and AI. It looks like by default, Microsoft turns on screenshot capture for AI training in games in the gaming Copilot beta. So essentially what it does is taking screenshots of your game and sending it to AI for training and it's on by default. It's not like a toggle you turned on. Does that make you feel weird?
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah. So
that's gaming Copilot. Yeah.
Yeah. Gaming Copilot, which is currently in beta. Yeah. So you can turn it off, but it's on by default, which I'm not a fan of at all.
No,
I just don't like that. So Microsoft, they're all just trying to get so much data for their AI platforms. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Now here's a question for you, Ryan. When you think of Halo, what do you think of?
Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Xbox, right? The reason I bought an Xbox was for Halo. What if I told you that they're doing a remake of Halo, the original game? They're doing a remake.
Yep.
And it's going to come out on PlayStation 5.
That I'm living in a different world.
What's going on?
You can't play Halo on a PlayStation. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, like what's going on?
What do you mean?
What is this? Well, apparently it's happening. Halo campaign evolved. It's announced for 2026, bringing the original, and it's going to be available on everything, Xbox, PC, and PlayStation 5. Why?
I saw a trailer or someone was, what was it? Oh, I was watching Doc play some Battlefield the other day, and he played like the launch trailer or something, and like it's updated graphics and it looked kind of neat, but I don't know. Is there that much nostalgia for the first Halo? Probably. Like that community is so dedicated to this game.
Yeah. Unreal Engine 5.
I never played it. The original, like I played a little bit at like some buddies' houses that had it. I never had an Xbox, so I didn't play Halo. Yeah. I had Halo 1 on PC, like when it finally came out for PC, I played it a little and I think I made it through the campaign or most of it. I enjoyed it for the most part, but I found it really repetitive, the levels. And then I don't know, I have some other Halo game that I played with my son for a while, a year or two ago. Yeah, I'm just not a Halo guy overall.
Yeah, as somebody who grew up playing Halo and had Xbox and was like Team Xbox,
right?
This it feels be like a, it feels yeah. like a it feels like a sin. Did you see the GameStop thing?
Huh?
They put out like a statement. Let me see if I can find it. So like they put out a statement that like. The console wars are now over.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find a GameStop.
That's funny.
Halo.
Yeah, next you're going to tell me I can play like Gran Turismo on Xbox or something. Or maybe you can already. I don't know.
Yeah. I can't find it. And then the White House reposted it, which is really funny too. Because it was like, President Trump is ending all wars. Wars are over. It was actually really funny. I can't find it, but yeah, that was actually really, really, it's just like so weird. Just Halo on PlayStation 5. But going back to PC gaming, Battlefield's been out for a bit. We heard rumors because the game didn't launch with a battle royale mode at all.
Right.
We heard rumors of a battle royale mode. It is now here. It's called Red Sec. And it's a free-to-play game itself, so you don't need Battlefield 6 to actually play it.
Interesting.
So just like all other battle royales, it's free. So again, if you didn't want to pay for Battlefield 6, but you want to get some Battlefield 6 action in, you can play this. You can get it on EA. You can get it on Steam. It's its own sort of standalone thing that you can get. Have you played this yet?
I haven't, but I feel like my purchase of the full game paid for these freeloaders to play Battle Royale.
Yeah, but one thing that's nice is like your progression or what all your like settings and upgrades. Separate. It's cross.
Oh, okay.
So if you have attachments and things, I'm pretty sure it's all cross. And I don't know if we have to download a different version of this or if it's like we go into Battlefield 6 and it's... Full. Yeah, so I don't know how that works. But the trailer looked awesome. I watched the trailer. We have the trailer in the article. The trailer looks awesome. Definitely, yeah, we'll be playing this tonight as long as my computer doesn't blow up like it has the past 2 weeks as we try to play this. So I'm excited to get – like, we would like Battlefield's fun on its own. Like, a lot of what we've been playing is quite fun. But Battle Royale is, like, a whole different thing. So we'll see how that goes, see if my computer doesn't blow up, which I'm crossing my fingers – doesn't blow up. So, but what we have coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a keyboard that like kind of took the internet by storm when it first came out. Cause it's just like very unique and different. Looks like something like an alien would make.
Yep.
This is the Gravistar Mercury K1 Pro. A lot of people are like, it's just, you know, so we'll tell you if it's actually a good gaming keyboard to pick up.
It does look cool.
Yeah. I can't pull it cause I have it wired right now, but it's sitting here. And I've been using it for the past week. It's quite nice. So we'll have that. And then Ryan will be taking a look at the Sama L70, which is a 360 millimeter AIO. So we'll be taking a look at that. You have the white one or the black one?
I don't remember. Oh. I haven't popped it out yet, but it'll be done soon.
Yeah. So, but pretty, I saw this actually at Computex. Pretty just sleek, kind of overall cooler. Nothing crazy.
Yeah,
so
the white. Yeah, the white.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it's going to look like that. So we'll have those reviews for you guys next week. And then our question of the week, I thought since, you know, Noctua, it's their 20-year anniversary. Have you used any or owned any Noctua coolers over the years and over your time in PCs?
No coolers, no.
Really?
One of my first articles though for Think Computers was a roundup of Noctua fans and fan controller.
I remember that.
So I have a bunch of them, but they were
that was a lot of fans too. I remember that.
It was like. Well, and they sent like a PWM version of a fan and then like a 5-volt or whatever. And like, so there was a 200 or a 180, I don't remember. And some 140s, 120s, some real small fans, a fan controller, some all sorts of stuff. So that's my experience with Noctua. I haven't used their fans in any build. I'm not opposed to them. I used to just absolutely hate the brown and tan. It's grown on me over the years. I just haven't used them right. I like RGB on fans, so that kind of knocks them out as well.
Yeah, but
not that they don't make great products. I mean, they do.
Yeah, and one thing I really liked about Noctua for the longest time for me, I've reviewed a ton of their coolers, which I'll show you, but their mounting system for their coolers was the same across all coolers. So it wasn't like you had to kind of, if you knew it, it was like insulation was, so you didn't even have to open the insulation manual, and it's remained very much the same over that long period. Sure. And if you look at some of the reviews we've done of Noctua coolers, I mean, recently we just did their new NHD15G2, which was 10 years since the original. This cooler, the NHU12A, that cooler, I had two of them, and I used instead of using AIOs on test benches, I used this on test benches for years. And we can go back. Oh, there's your fan review right there.
There's my fan. That's Derek.
Yeah, you have to go back. But we reviewed a ton of coolers over the years, the original D15. They just made really, really good air coolers, and they still do. It's not like they don't. And then, of course, we did their first ever passive cooler. And they're going to be coming out with a AIO, which I assume Ryan will take a look at. I got a little preview of it at CES. So they have some really cool stuff going on. And again, shout out to them for 20 years. It's a very long time. But they make, like I said, they're pretty much the number. Wouldn't you say they're the number one when people think of air coolers?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I would say they're definitely the number one. So before we get out of here, old man in the chat does have some deals for you guys on keyboards. These are on Amazon. So
I'm passing up on these. I've got too many keyboards here.
I just unboxed a bunch of some really cool keyboards as well.
So I think he had shared this one. I'm going to unplug it so I can pull it up. This is the Yunzi RT68.
Nice.
And it's magnetic Hall effect.
Are you gonna play games with that tonight?
Yeah, I've been playing for a little bit with this thing.
You like it, huh?
Yeah, so far it's not wireless, it's wired, but I think it was $18 or $21 on sale when I got it.
For Hall effect, that's crazy.
It's stupid.
Yeah, so he has the EPA Maker Tide 75. So just type that into Amazon. And then he also has the EPA Maker Dynatab 75X that has the cool screen. We saw this 2 years ago at CES, that one. Remember that one with this screen?
Was it a bit like the big screen on the
top?
Yeah.
So that's that one. And that's $29 right now.
I know. I'm just I'm not even looking at these. I don't need any more. They're piling up.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get into keyboards. So shout out to Old Man for that. We will be gaming, guys. Like I said, we're going to be playing Battlefield 6 Red Sec on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks everybody who came out, and of course everybody that listens later. And again, thank you, Old Man, for of course all of your keyboard deals, because you always have a ton. So until next week, we will catch you guys later.